Hey, I'm Tyler with the Sports Stop. You're here to listen to me talk about sports, right? Okay, let's talk.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's talk about my top three takeaways, you know, just like we do every single week. We're on week 12 currently, and let's get right into it. So, just like we do every week, we have our top three takeaways, and we kind of, you know, bullet point each little topic in the macro topic. So, number one, one of my biggest takeaways is the Broncos and Rams. Do they have the darkest future in the next 5 years? I think so. Let me explain. So, we'll start off with the Broncos. They got cooked by the Carolina Panthers yesterday. And not very many people consider the Carolina Panthers to be a good team. Not at all. They lost 10 to 23, which is atrocious. It's atrocious. So you got D linemen now yelling at Russell Wilson saying, let's do something on offense. So it's going to be a rough couple of years for the Broncos. They're paying Russell Wilson for the next, you know, 7 years. They're paying him $40 plus million each of those years. They gave up draft picks to trade for Russell Wilson. So not only you're paying Russell Wilson for the next 7 years, $40 plus million, you also traded draft capital, multiple good players. And what do you have to show for it? Right now, you have a top five pick in the draft that you don't even own. The Seahawks own that pick. You have a quarterback who has quickly become one of the biggest memes of the season. You have Carolina players on defense mocking Russell Wilson. And now you have Russell Wilson's teammates yelling at him. And Nathaniel Hackett is probably going to get fired after the season. And who would want this job? That is, you know, not going to be good. I think maybe a Kellen Moore would want this job. Maybe. But you're not going to get a top, you know, coaching candidate from college or Sean Payton or, you know, if a coach gets fired and you like that coach, he's probably not going to want to go to, you know, this Broncos team. So it's not a, you know, a attractive job if you're a coach. Why would you want to go to the Broncos? You could potentially get fired after a year or two if your team looks dysfunctional. But what Russell Wilson is doing, you know, he's not helping with the whole not playing well, because not only he's not a quiet quarterback for the reasons of he's, you know, showing you in the media, oh, I'm doing this, this, and this, and he's becoming a meme. He's also super expensive, and, you know, you're in the AFC West. So that division is very good. Say what you want about the Raiders, Chargers, and then obviously the Chiefs are good. Let's go to the Rams. The Rams are staring down a hole in which parts of it is worse, parts of it is not as bad. Let's start with the part that is worse. Comparing them to the Broncos at least have many, many, many good players who are still on rookie contracts and are cheap. The Rams, on the other hand, have probably the most top-heavy roster in the league. They have, what, six top-tier players, and after that, it kind of drops off to average, at best, starters for the rest of the team. They have, you know, three on offense, three on defense. They got, on offense, obviously they got Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Tyler Higbee's good. He's getting paid a decent amount for a tight end. And Allen Robinson is getting decent money. Robinson's not as expensive, but for the you know, play you're getting and the production you're getting, he's significantly overpaid. And then you go to the Rams defense. Aaron Donald, no question about it, still would pay him top-tier money, if not the most money for a defensive player. Jalen Ramsey, he is starting to show a little bit of cracks in his game. It seems like every week he's getting, you know, burnt for a touchdown. Last week against the Saints with a whole Chris Olave touchdown. And then this week, Travis Kelce put him in a spin cycle for a touchdown. So, obviously, you pay Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey getting, you know, top-tier money. And Jalen Ramsey hasn't even been a top-five corner this year. And he's starting to show cracks. And then Bobby Wagner, he's about where he should be getting paid. He's a good, not great player anymore. Still would love him on my team, but he's good. And then you have Leonard Floyd, who is a little bit overpaid, but he is still a great player to go with Aaron Donald for that pass rush. So after that, who are the decent players on the team? Cam Akers doesn't look like the same player. You know, Van Jefferson's an okay player, but he's probably going to leave because of, you know, contract, you know, situation. Corners, they don't really have anything. Other linemen, they don't really have anything. So you look at the Rams, they kind of have, you know, 7 to 8 good and great players, and then it just completely drops off. So Aaron Donald's getting old. Matt Stafford, he's having a bit of a down year. Cooper Kupp got injured, but he's still obviously a great player. Jalen Ramsey's starting to look a little bit older. Bobby Wagner's old. So at least the Broncos have trade pieces that they can get picks back. But the Rams, who would you really trade besides Cooper Kupp and maybe, I don't know, maybe a Matt Stafford? Those are the only guys really worth any significant amount of draft capital. I know a team would obviously give up, you know, like a first round pick for Aaron Donald, but the Rams aren't going to trade him. So the Rams have not very many good players worth any draft capital if they want to trade them. They are in a horrible draft, you know, cap situation. They have no draft picks. So they traded everything they had for Matt Stafford in previous, you know, trades. They haven't had a first round pick since like the Jared Goff, you know, draft pick in like 2016, I want to say. Like, they don't have any firsts, any seconds, and they have a bunch of late round picks, but at the end of the day, even for a good drafting team like the Rams, they still need top draft capital. So the Rams might have the darkest future, because in 2 years, Aaron Donald's probably going to be retired by then, in the second, you know, 2 years from now. Sean McVay has really voiced his displeasure about this team and doing this team. And obviously, they don't have much else. So we'll see about that. Next up, good Jaguars or bad Ravens? Obviously, the Ravens did lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-28 yesterday in a skin-of-their-teeth loss. I feel bad for Lamar Jackson. I think it was more about the bad Ravens. The Ravens' defense has really been not great this year, whether it's because their D coordinator went to the Giants or what it is, but the Jaguars have been a mediocre at best team this year, and they are, you know, beating the Ravens. And what's telling me it's more about the bad Ravens, the Jaguars were 1-6 in their last one possession games. 1-6. And they beat the Ravens. And you can't blame it on Lamar saying, oh, he didn't make the plays that he needed to make to win the game. Lamar Jackson, for the amount of time he had, he did as best as he could have done. You know, there's not much you can do when you only have 12 to 13 seconds in a game with, you know, like one timeout. And you got to rely on Justin Tucker for a 67-yard field goal, which looked good, and if he was an indoor in a indoor stadium, he probably would have made it. So even with the Ravens trading for Roquan Smith, this defense really is struggling. And that's against a mediocre Jaguars team. Now, credit to the Jaguars, this might be their turning point in the season where they really start to pick up, you know, steam in year one with the Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence combination. This might be that, but you can't blame it on Lamar Jackson. You just can't. The Ravens, you know, you had Gus Edwards fumble late in the fourth quarter. That really, you know, screwed him over. And then Lamar Jackson threw a dime to DeSean Jackson at the end of the game to put him in, you know, field goal range, and they still lost the game. So say what you want about Lamar Jackson not playing well this season or parts of the season. He's done as much as he could have done with this Ravens team. And last up, red hot NFC teams taking over. There's two teams right now that are hot. They are on fire right now in the NFC. Two teams, Washington Commanders and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I don't think Washington's as good as the Niners or relatively close, but you can see when a team is red hot, they can beat a team that's better than them. You saw it in, what was it, 2020? Or was it, it might have been 2021. It was a 2021 season where the Commanders made the playoffs and almost beat the Super Bowl Buck, the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers in the wild card game. They were right there. And this Commanders team reminds me of that same team. You have Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. You have a good defense. You have a decent offense, and they were red hot at the end of the year in 2021, and they are red hot right now. They're on a, you know, 6-game win streak or a 5-game win streak, and Taylor Heineke's 5-1 in those starts. So watch out for the Commanders. They beat the Falcons yesterday. Yes, they didn't beat them by much, and it wasn't an impressive win, but nonetheless, it was still a win. And considering at the beginning of the year, we were completely writing off this Commanders team, they are beginning red hot. Now, I think they got hot a little bit early, but maybe they'll make the playoffs. With the Giants kind of, you know, on the down trickle and the Commanders on the uptick, you could see the Commanders make the playoffs. They're 7-5 currently. And last up, probably the number two, number three team in the league, the San Francisco 49ers. They are winning games with Jimmy Garoppolo playing either average or above average. Now, they beat the New Orleans Saints 13-0. And yes, it wasn't a crazy good offensive, you know, showdown or offensive, you know, outing. Their defense shut the Saints out, which is crazy. The Saints have players. Don't get me wrong. Saints have players. They have Kamara, Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry. They have a very below average starting quarterback in Andy Dalton, but he's still a veteran quarterback in this league, and that means something. So the Niners, I think besides Kansas City, they're probably a top three team. And if you want to argue, you can throw in, you know, a different team like the Dolphins or the Bengals or the Eagles or the Vikings or the Cowboys. You can do that. But at the end of the day, I still think San Francisco's the number two team or possibly a top three team. I think at minimum they're a top three team. And I think they're the second best team in the league besides Kansas City. So with all pro players on every single unit of this 49ers roster, if Jimmy Garoppolo can have a 2-touchdown, 1-pick game and the running game is good in the playoffs, this 49ers team is going to make it to the conference championship at minimum. Because with Seattle kind of slowing down a little bit, I think the Niners did overtake the division last night after the crazy Raiders and Seahawks game. So I think San Francisco can quickly become a very good team in this league. And I think they're already to that. Now, it's kind of me projecting that they're this good already, but give it one more, two more weeks, it'll be widely considered that they are probably the best team in the NFC. So that's just my top three takeaways of NFL Sunday's games. I appreciate you guys for listening. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, great weekend, and have a good one. Peace.